Hello and welcome to today's episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm Pokey, and I'm your host for today. This episode is going to be, well, a cornucopia of fun stuff, culminating, I hope, with the review of the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, because it was such a blast to do. I'm going to start out by trying to outdo one of my heroes in podcasting, Mr. Dave Sexy Yates, by starting out with two apologies. The first apology is I apologize for taking so long to get this episode out. I had a surgery right after the Northeast Linux Fest, and there just wasn't enough time to get everything done before that surgery began. Real life got in the way, as it does, and I just kind of dropped the ball. I want to apologize also to everyone I was supposed to get back to after the Northeast Linux Fest, specifically Matt Lee and Donald Robertson. I told them I would get back to them with some more information about Hacker Public Radio because they wanted some information about contributing their content to our feed, which is fantastic. I need to apologize to both Donald and Matt. I don't know what I did with your business cards. I'm looking up your email addresses, and I'll find them eventually. I'll get what I need to get done, but this surgery really set me back quite a bit. More than I thought it would. As far as the surgery goes, I'll be a little cryptic about it for now. I have no problem talking about what it is, but you might not want to hear about the surgery. You might want to know what it is. It might be uncomfortable to hear. Moving on from that, the Northeast Linux Fest went so well for me and for everyone else who I talked to. It just seemed to be a complete and utter success. Round of applause, hats off, tip of glass, whatever you'd like to say, to Jonathan Nadeau and his crew, who really have pretty much stayed anonymous throughout this. I didn't write down, and I cannot remember, Jonathan's business partner's name. I'm really disappointed with myself for that, because the guy was one of the coolest guys I've ever met. He was just totally laid back and friendly and cool. Helpful. It was really excellent. And it seemed like the rest of the crew was made up by his and Jonathan's wives, who were also super, super cool people. They were just friendly and helpful and great to have around. You couldn't ask for better people to be running an event for you. They were just fantastic. The event itself was a half-day event. It was very small. I think this is the first conference I've ever been to, first Linux event I've ever been to, other than some LUG meetings. It seemed pretty small to me. I'm thinking 50 or 60 people in total maybe showed up. I recognized a couple of the guys there by face. I think two guys who were there I had been to LUG meetings with over at UNH, the University of New Hampshire. I talked with one of them, and he didn't quite recognize me. He said he'd been around to a couple of LUGs and couldn't put his picture in where he'd seen me, and that's fine. I haven't been to a LUG meeting in probably a year and a half or 2 years because of my night job. And the other guy I didn't quite get a chance to talk to, he was kind of off on his own whenever I was free. There just wasn't a lot of people there. But of the people who were there, everybody seemed like quality people. I mean, people you did not mind sitting down and having a chat with. I enjoyed every conversation I had. I wished every conversation could have gone on longer. I wished I could have talked to more people. It was really fantastic from start to finish. Now, I ran a table there. I ran one of the two tables that were there. There was Hacker Public Radio, and I shouldn't say I ran it. Actually, ArtV61 from IRC came and helped me out over there, and Murph also came and helped me out over there, so that was fantastic. And those are the guys who physically came and sat down with me, so thanks to those guys. It was really great. But I had a ton of help setting up for this up front, and I owe giant, giant heaps of gratitude and thanks to Code Cruncher, especially, but also to Ken Fallon, to 5150, to Droops, to my mom, just to so many people. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. Droops and 5150 and Ken Fallon, they all pitched in helping me to pay for the HPR stickers that I've been sending out in the mail and handing out, that I handed out at the Linux Fest. The stickers were a real hit there. They seemed to be a real hit being mailed out, and they seemed to have gotten a couple people to at least say they would stop fence sitting and throw some episodes up, which was really more than I ever expected. I just thought it'd be cool to have some stickers and, hand them out to some other cool people. And you know, that was a lot of fun. But to actually get some episodes out of it was beyond what I'd ever thought. And that's really great. I mean, had that been the intention in the first place, it would have been a complete success. And that was just, that's so cool to get some people donating shows because they got a sticker. If I knew I could buy shows with stickers, I would have done it a long time ago. I have to thank Code Cruncher for just a ton of help ahead of time that she did. She's the one who actually put the sticker design into an SVG for us that we could send to the sticker company. She nailed it on her first try. You know, it was perfect. I mean, it's a pretty basic sticker. It's a very simple design. If you haven't seen one yet, you can see our gallery. People have been sending in pictures of their stickers in the wild, and that's at, there's a URL shortener, is.gd, like is good, /DEB, capital M, lowercase m, capital D, is the shortened URL to get over there, and that's a Picasa album that Ken has been maintaining, and he's given me access to upload photos to also. So if you've gotten a sticker and you want to send us a photograph for your sticker to stick in that album, that would be really fantastic. That's been a lot of fun also that I didn't expect to come out of the stickers. And it's just a fun album. You should go check it out if, you know, any of the podcasters or any of the guys in the IRC or if you're just part of the community, it's fun to go check that out. And even if you're not, even if you're just a lurker, no problem. Have a look. And if you've gotten a sticker and you want us to put your picture up there, just send it to Ken or I, and we'll stick it up on the web on that Picasa album. So yeah, anyway, those are what the stickers look like, and Code Cruncher designed those. At the same time, what she did, and I just happened to ask her offhandedly, is there some kind of a script we could throw together that would kind of scrape the website, scrape HPR, and grab the links from each episode and generate a QR code for each one so that we could print them out and have that with us. She apparently thought that that was a great idea, and Ken apparently thought that that was a great idea because they took it and ran with it. And the output from the two of them, what they actually generated, what we wound up with, was just beautiful. It's a printed page, and it looks like 9 smaller windows tiled on that printed page. Pages is, you know, American 8.5 by 11 paper, and it's laid out in landscape. And there's 9 per page. And what you see is at the upper left of each of those little windows, and it looks like a window on a computer. It's got what looks like sliders on it and everything. It's really nice. And the upper left is the QR code, which is a direct link to the MP3 file of each episode. To the right of that is the episode's name and the contributor for the episode in the show notes, just as it appears on the website. And the website doesn't have the QR code, obviously. That part's been added, but the rest of it kind of emulates the website pretty well. I printed them out, put them in a 3-ring binder. So all you'd have to do is flip to the episode that you're interested in, and with your smartphone, take a picture of the QR code, and the MP3 file just starts playing on your phone or your tablet or whatever device you've got. It's really cool. I printed those all out and I tested them. I tested a bunch of them with my daughter's iPod Touch. That thing really stinks at handling QR codes. At taking a picture of it and getting them out there. It's tough to do that. I was really disappointed at how poorly it seemed to work. But apparently that's just the iPod that does that, because I had to kind of hold it really, really steady for a few seconds, and I'd bring it a little closer and a little further away as it would kind of, the fixed focus, you know, as it kind of comes in and out of focus, and the little box around it would turn green to let you know that there it is. It sees the QR code, and you'd have to try and hold it perfectly still for what seemed like 5 or 10 seconds. It seemed like an awful long time. And then finally it would grab the link and it would go to it. I was pretty disappointed in how that worked. But the minute I tried it with an Android device, like, I didn't even get the thing aimed. It came into frame and the thing was playing before I realized I was even aimed at the right episode. That works really, really well on Android. Works really quickly. The iPod Touch kind of failed in that regard. But the pages that were output by Ken and Code Cruncher were just fantastic. It looked really beautiful. I printed out 2 of those books which were about 80 pages a piece, I think, and had them there on the table. And I thought it was just a great thing to have displayed. Sadly, I don't think anyone touched the books. People weren't coming over, and they were coming over. They were not familiar with HPR. I think what they came over mostly to do was ask, what is HPR? And I gave the folks a brief description of what HPR was and how we worked, you know, how Creative Commons works and how that makes HPR theirs just as much as it makes it yours and mine. That was mostly what I did for the day on behalf of HPR. And I don't think anybody actually took the time to flip through those books and have a look while I was watching. They may have done it while I was in a talk. I did sit in on one talk. So sadly, I don't think they got used other than by me while I was testing them out and playing with them. Regardless, they are really nice looking. They came out perfectly. I think they're a great idea. If I had had a smartphone and was just passing by a table, I mean, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm looking for. Ken and Code Cruncher both thought it was a brilliant idea that I had come up with. And from my point of view, I didn't think I'd come up with the idea. That's just what QR codes are for. I just thought I was asking how we could implement an idea that already existed. So I really can't take credit for any of it because all I just said was, can we do it? And the two of them put it together and emailed me the results. So full credit to Code Cruncher and to Ken Fallon for that. Code Cruncher wrote the code that would turn it into a PDF that could be printed. Ken adjusted the CSS of the website and I think made a special page just so that that data could be pulled from it. So I think that's what had gone on. You'd have to hear from the two of them. I know I contribute to Hacker Public Radio. I'm not much of a hacker, not software-wise. I just love Hacker Public Radio. It's one of my favorite things. I also would like to thank Klaatu. He designed a lot of business cards for HPR, and there's still room for more business cards. Apparently, when we print them out, we can have a whole bunch of different faces on the business cards, and they all have the same back. And I think Klaatu designed most of what we have. Code Cruncher took it upon herself to purchase 2 boxes of business cards and have them delivered to me to bring to the fest. They were really cool. All the different designs, I think it was 12 different designs, and they're mini business cards, so each one is half the size or a third of the size of a normal business card. They were really, really great looking cards. Each one had a unique design. All the designs were cool. I would venture to say that more people took a business card than took a sticker even. I was actually pushing the stickers because I had so many of them and, you know, so few people at the fest. And I still think I handed out more. People asked for business cards. I think they took more business cards than stickers. So that was great. I want to thank Tony. I'm going to leave his last name off here. But Tony emailed me and offered to bring some gear to the fest because he was coming there. I didn't actually need it. I had an abundance of computers to use and a dearth of computers that worked with my microphone. So that actually turned out to be one of the last minute things that I had to adjust for before the fest that caused me to fall behind after the fest. At the same time, I need to thank Kerbuntu tremendously. Kerbuntu took it upon himself to offer me a laptop and to actually ship me a laptop and said he didn't expect it back. I tried to offer him money for the laptop because I don't actually own a laptop and was thinking, boy, that would be great if he's going to send me something. I can, you know, use that until such time as a laptop becomes a higher priority and I can buy a newer, you know, more modern, bigger, better one. He said he got the thing for free, wouldn't accept money for it, and shipped it. Anyway, I mean, the next thing I knew, it was on my doorstep. He had UPS'd it. It's not a new laptop. It's an older laptop. It's a Pentium 4 mobile IBM ThinkPad. And I've been using the heck out of this thing. And I just want to thank you, Kerbuntu, personally and over the air in front of everybody for, I mean, such a generous, generous thing that you've done. I can't thank you enough for that. One downside to all of it is that my microphone wouldn't work with it. So I wasn't actually able to use it for much at the fest other than as a backup in case anything happened to the computer that I wound up using there. I know I said the only computer that I was going to have at my disposal would have been my desktop and my primary desktop. I didn't actually wind up bringing my primary desktop. I brought a spare box that I had that I wasn't able to record with. And I, you know, last minute realized that it's probably not the computer caring about the microphone, it's the sound card. So I pulled the sound card out of my primary machine, I put it in my backup machine, tested it out, and it worked perfectly, so I brought that. That was actually a good thing, because while I was there, we were able to make three recordings. A gentleman by the name of Bob Evans recorded an actual episode at the table there, and it was a fun little introductory episode, and his history with computing, and it will have aired by now. You will have already heard it or skipped it. If you skipped it, go back and listen to it, because it was really fun. It was really nice of Bob to do that for us. The other gentleman that recorded for us, Bill Plants, he stopped by the table and he did a little review of the fest for us. It was really fantastic. That wasn't quite formatted to be a standalone episode, but it was a great short on-the-spot review of the Northeast Linux Fest. So rather than put it out as its own episode, I'm going to stick it in right here. So, Bill Plants, thank you very, very much for your recording, and here it is.
All right, my name is Bill Plants. I'm here at the Northeast Linux Fest, and I got to hear John Mad Dog Hall talk and Matt Lee talk this morning, and so far I've heard some really interesting stuff, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Get to talk to a lot of geeks down here.
Yeah, someone gave me a full-size
somebody besides my wife that doesn't want to hear about computers. It's been a good day. Thanks. Have a good day.
See, I told you that was great. The next thing that I was able to record while I was there was an actual interview. Donald Robertson and Matt Lee of the Free Software Foundation came and sat down with me at the table and recorded an interview. It was probably about a half an hour interview. It also will have aired by now. It's the first interview I've ever done. It's the first live face-to-face recording I've ever done. Well, probably not ever, but the first since I was about 6 years old. It just went fantastically well. I couldn't have asked for anybody nicer than these two guys to do an interview with. They were just very cooperative and kind and respectful. They had a lot of great stuff to talk about. I thought the interview went really, really well, and I enjoyed the episode. At the time of this recording, it hasn't aired yet, but at the time that this will air, it will have already done so. So you probably had a chance to listen to that too. If you haven't, go back and grab that episode too, because I just thought it went really well. Those guys were really nice. The fest itself was so much fun while I was there. So many people came up to the table to see what Hacker Public Radio was about, heard me out as far as my little spiel about, you know, Creative Commons being the media equivalent of the GPL. It was just really, really nice. I showed up about an hour, I think, or 45 minutes maybe, before the conference opened. The building was still locked when I got there, and there was probably a dozen people standing outside waiting for the place to open to go in. When the doors opened, I pulled my minivan up to unload my gear, and people just came over and started grabbing gear out of the back of my van to bring in. It was really, really nice of everybody. I went to make a second trip and someone followed me out to help. And it was fantastic. I wasn't expecting that. Yet, this is our community. These are our people. And this is how we act. And I got to say, I would have done the same thing had I seen someone moving stuff. And the same group of guys, the people who didn't have my stuff in their hands, had Jonathan's stuff in their hands. They had boxes of magazines, which I know weighed more than my stuff. Those magazines were heavy. In magazines that they were given out at the door, and a bunch of other stuff, the swag bags, people carried those in. And it's just, this is our community, and this is why I love being part of it. It was really, really great. The festival was held inside a student building at the, I think it was the Worcester State College. The construction of the building was kind of neat. It was almost like four buildings inside the same place. So it had a big open air area in the middle and like big open air hallways that if I remember correctly, went from the floor, you know, the ground level to the very roof of the building, just big open areas. And then there were like four kind of towers on each of the corners. The ground level of two of them were conference rooms, of which we only had one. We only had one conference room for the day. The other two, I think there was a bookstore there and then a cafe in the other one. Neither the cafe nor the bookstore were open. The whole place was shut down when we got there, and they opened it just for us for our half a day. And then after us, there was another festival that looked like a lot of fun. We almost could have stayed for the next festival. It was like a multicultural festival. People were really decorating that cool streamers and everything, but we had the after party instead. So we were in like a cafeteria type section right in the middle. There were some small tables. You could tell people probably use it for eating, for studying, that kind of thing. It was just some small tables and some chairs. And they had some folding tables for us, and we just pulled a couple of chairs over. There was power. There was Wi-Fi there. Jonathan's wife helped us to log into that because you needed a password for the Wi-Fi. So she gave everyone who needed it that password. And there was our table and the KDE table. The guy at the KDE table was really cool. He was a cool guy. He had brought a full spread of KDE stuff. Man, I thought I brought a bunch of stuff. This guy had the table covered from end to end with probably 4 or 5 different KDE stickers. He had a big like flip chart size display behind him of KDE, and he had CDs that he was handing out, maybe even DVDs. I think it was of Kubuntu. I got it somewhere. I looked at it, but I'm not a KDE user, so I didn't, you know, really get too into it. And he was a really cool guy, and the stuff that he had brought to hand out was really cool as well. Our table was basically, it was just like a 6 foot or an 8 foot long. I think it was about an 8 foot long table. The tablecloth I brought didn't quite reach to the end of it, but that's okay. It looked all right. And my mom actually is a seamstress. And as a favor, she made a banner for us that was about maybe 3 feet wide and 2 feet tall of just white cloth with the letters HPR sewn onto it and just cutouts. It was simple enough looking that I didn't feel guilty about it. It looked like it didn't take her too long to do, but she's a highly, highly skilled seamstress, so it's quality and it's going to last us a while. And it's got some straps on it off the top, so we could have hung it on a wall behind the table if we wanted to, or safety pin it to the table where it was at. I just hung it from the table because there wasn't anything to hang it on behind us. The one regret that I have from that, Code Cruncher came up with the idea that we should, you know, whenever we have a table at a festival, have everyone who's an HPR contributor come and sign that tablecloth, or the banner, I think, would be more appropriate since it says HPR on it, and the tablecloth could be replaced if it were, you know, ever damaged or anything. And I forgot to have the guys who were there sign it. I was really sad about that afterwards that I forgot to do that. The tablecloth, the banner, the leftover business cards, the QR code books, those things I stuck in the mail and sent to Code Cruncher when I was done with the fest. Those are going to make an appearance at the Linux Fest Northwest. She's going to be there running a table there. So I just sent all the materials up to her because, I mean, that's what we're about, right? So hopefully someone else will pick it up from there and want to run a fest somewhere else in the country or in the world, and we can mail the stuff out to you. Before I sent it, I did sign my name on it. So hopefully that's enough of a reminder that she'll be able to have people sign their names on it too. Oh, and the other thing I need to thank Code Cruncher for, and this was amazing, she sent me T-shirt transfers. Yeah, I guess you can buy them at Walmart, and they're not too expensive unless you're doing a bunch for everybody. But you stick them in your printer, you print what you need on them, you cut out the shape that you've printed, and you can iron it onto a T-shirt, and they'll stick to a T-shirt. And she sent me enough to make 2 T-shirts, which was great because I knew Art was coming, so I was able to pick up a T-shirt for me and a T-shirt for Art at Walmart and just kind of iron them on the night before. That was so cool of her. That was great. They're really, really cool because the HPR logo, or not the logo, but the sticker design, the oval sticker, was one of the things on it, and it fits perfectly on the pocket of a T-shirt, and I really only wear pocket T-shirts, so I can stick my MP3 player in the pocket, and that was great on the front of the shirt. But the other thing that she had done, had made up for the shirt, and I don't know if she designed this or somebody else did it, but it was hysterically funny to me and just so cool, was a label to go on the back of the shirt that looks like a laundry label, like this is what the material it's made of and this is how you treat it kind of thing that you see in attached to any shirt, you know, with the little symbols of cold wash or cold dry cycle or whatever, those little symbols. Well, she had mimicked that and had on there, you know, HPR contents are free and open source. I don't remember exactly what it said, and I could go get it, but you should check it out for yourself. And she had little symbols on there that were similar to what Klaatu had put on the business card, and it was just so clever and so creative and hysterically funny. I was really, really excited about that, and I thought it was just so funny and so great. So Code Cruncher, thank you for everything you've done, for all the help. So many people came up to the table to talk to me that I can't remember who everybody was. so many people, Art and Murph, who were there at the table with me. NY Bill came over and said hi. We talked a couple of times. Jonathan Nadeau was over there. Other guys who, I mean, I don't even remember anybody. I feel bad naming anybody because I don't remember everyone's. I'm so bad with names, you know, anyway. Everybody came over to the table. Everyone who was there came over and said hi, heard a little bit about it if they didn't know about it, or had a look and said what was cool about it. Before this episode goes out, I'm going to add a couple of pictures that I took. I didn't spend a whole lot of time taking pictures, but I did take a few pictures, and I'm going to add them to our Stickers in the Wild album so you can see what the table looked like. We basically had my desktop under the table with a mic plugged into it. The keyboard and monitor were facing the front of the table, and I had Audacity installed on that in case anybody wanted to record. Enough people came over just to say, hey, look, it's Audacity, and, you know, then kind of, you know, make a little joke about Audacity and instability or whatever. And it's just, you know, frankly, I wasn't there long enough ago to remember Audacity being a bad or an unstable program. It's one of my very favorite programs that I've ever used. The only times I've ever been able to kill Audacity is when I gave it a task. I didn't realize how big a task I was giving it. And while it was thinking, I thought I locked it up, so I X-killed it. When I restarted it, it hadn't lost any data. Everything had been retained. It had auto-saved everything. So I have nothing but good to say about Audacity. And I made sure that, you know, anybody who seemed to have remembered it being not the program that it is now, I made sure to say, look, that was long ago. It is no longer the way you remember it. It is a fantastic program now. So I did make a point to do that. But it kind of seemed to distract a little from the fact that the table was there for HPR, not for Audacity. So I just kind of minimized that, and I had a wallpaper up there of the HPR mic logo that's been on HPR since the very start. And then Art had a couple of computers set up, and he had some external laptop speakers and was playing a couple of HPR episodes and a couple of promos through that when things were a little quieter and people weren't recording or weren't, you know, actively asking questions about HPR. So that was really cool and really helpful too. Murph was there. He recorded with his video camera. He recorded a bunch of the talks. The first one with John Hall, John Mad Dog Hall, that first talk, I don't know if he ran out of, I think he said he ran out of storage on a thing. Maybe he hadn't deleted something he thought he had deleted and it ran out of space. So he didn't get the full talk. And that's unfortunate because I think we would have probably aired that. But he was there recording. He was there working every bit as much as he was enjoying the fest. He was really cool. He was a great guy, full of energy, and just a lot of fun to talk to all day. Art was a lot of fun. We talked a lot every time things quieted down at the booth while there were talks going on. I did see one talk. It was about Debian packaging, and it was more of a talk, not about how to do it and the technical aspects of it, but why someone might be interested in packaging for Debian and what benefits you might get out of that, either as a programmer or as a fan of a program. And that was a really cool talk. It was really fun. And I recorded that for Murph while he sat at the table, watched the table for us. He and Art watched it for, you know, took a stint doing that. So that was really cool of them. That was exactly the kind of help that I was asking for. And I do owe Murph a bit of an apology. I forgot he said he was coming, and I would have made him a t-shirt because Code Cruncher also sent me the files to print out more of those kits. And I would have done that had I remembered. And it just slipped my mind, and I apologize for that. The festival was great. It was short, but it was super just packed with good information, good people, and fun stuff. There was never really too much downtime, except for the guys, you know, who were running the tables. There was some downtime while there were talks going on, but they kept everybody else engaged and involved the entire time. I heard that the talks were fantastic. I didn't see any except for the one that also was fantastic. I didn't see them, but I heard they were really great. I don't think anybody left there disappointed or wanting more. Everyone wanted more, but I don't think anybody left feeling like they needed more to have made it worth their time. I should say that. But there was even more for us to make it worth our time. Jonathan and, again, I'm kicking myself for forgetting his business partner's name, and I'm just going to call him his business partner for now. And I can't remember their wives' names either for the life of me. And it just, that's just me. I'm sorry. They put on an after party at a local club. It was called Jillian's. Of course, if you've heard their promo, you knew that. There's like a big pool hall with like an arcade off the back. Jillian's was really too loud to do any interviews at, which was kind of disappointing for me. I had asked John Hall if I could interview him after the fest because there was really no time to get it done there. He was very busy, and the only downtime that I had was during talks, and I had done that one interview then. He had given me permission for an interview, and he seemed pretty excited about it. It just was not going to work at Jillian's unless I asked him to go outside, and it was a little cold out that day, so I wasn't going to do that to the man. It would have, to me, felt disrespectful, and I wasn't about to do that to him. However, he did accept my apology, and he gave me a business card and offered to do a phone interview, which I fully plan to do as soon as I can figure out the technology, getting my cell phone hooked up to the computer to record. I have an idea of how to make it work, and I'm willing to do some research if that doesn't and try to get something going. The after party at Jillian's was really cool. It was really fun. It was more than I expected. They had bought a couple of like buffet trays, platters to bring out. So everybody got a bite to eat. I don't think anybody was expecting that, but we actually got fed. I don't know how many people showed up, maybe 30 or 40, you know, maybe like 2/3 of the people who were there showed up. And I don't think anybody felt like they had to order food to be satisfied. It was food left on the trays when the staff came to collect the second one and clean it up. So that was just, I mean, way above and beyond any expectations that I had. I don't imagine anybody else had expectations of even that much, let alone more than that. I can't say enough good things about this festival. This was their inaugural festival. Hopefully, it's the first annual Northeast GNU Linux Fest, because I would really love to do another one. It would really be fantastic to go back next year and do it all over again. It would be so much fun. If anyone, you know, is in the area next year, wants to hit a fest that's a lot of fun and they do it again, I'd recommend going to it. I'm not sure at this point where the video or audio from the talks is posted online. I know it was planned to have been posted online. By the time this show hits the feed, I hope to have found that information, and I'll put it in the show notes. So if you're interested in those talks, there were talks by John Hall, Matt Lee. I don't know if Donald Robertson gave a talk. He may or may not have. There was a Debian package maintainer that gave a talk, and I forget his name. I know there was a talk about Myth, which I completely skipped. I don't watch television. I don't own a television, so I don't really have too much interest in Myth. But a lot of people came out of there saying a lot of nice things about it, too. That might have been it for the talks. I'm not sure. If I've forgotten anyone or anything, I apologize. The festival itself was on April 2nd, and at the time of this recording, it's April 12th, so it's been a full 10 days since the festival. Like I said, I just ran out of time between Saturday and Tuesday to get everything done. I didn't even get my computers put back together. I still haven't got my computers back together. The only working computers in the house right now are my wife's laptop, which I try not to touch, with the Vista on it. The one that Kubuntu sent me, which I am going to do a full review on a cool distro that I found that runs great on there. And my little EPC 701, which I don't really consider a laptop. It's not much good for that. It's got its uses, but it's certainly not a general purpose computer. I don't think, anyway. I mean, technically it is, but you wouldn't want to live with that as your only computer. I can promise you that. And the surgery that I had, I've been out of work for 7 days as of today. This is my last day, and I go back to work tomorrow. I really was not able to get up and walk around. The whole idea was that I was supposed to sit in the chair or lie in bed and recover and heal and not pull stitches or anything like that. And it was really painful to move around, so I couldn't do too much. I spent the whole first 2 days distro hopping to find something that was acceptable on that laptop, something that, you know, I could work from the chair with. It took me 2 days. The CD drive on it was a little bit slow, you know, no complaints. It just took me forever. And if I, you know, made a mistake installing and had to start over, or if I found that for some reason or other, whatever distro I chose was not acceptable on that laptop, you know, I had to start all over again. That just took a while. And then, of course, I had to edit Bob Evans' show first. I owed that to him because he came, you know, and recorded the show. He's a new contributor, and he really deserved to have that up there. and also the interview with Donald Robertson and Matt Lee. I owed it to them to get their stuff out before my material also. So that's why this is coming out so late and after those other things. You know, not to mention the whole time I'm stuck in my chair. It was kind of painful. It wasn't the greatest post-surgery recovery time I've ever had. I'm going to just make an excuse here and just say that it wasn't the most fun I've ever had in my life. It just took me a little bit longer than I wanted it to. But now here I have finally recorded the Northeast GNU Linux Fest. It is 100% positive, except for my own shortcomings. I hope that it happens again. And now I'm done. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.